keep the rest in my time capsule for the days of great trouble. I'm Big John Lipscomb, and my solution to overcoming the New World Order is survivalistseeds.com. It's food insurance against tyranny. I ain't giving up. I hope you don't either.
Welcome back to the Story Behind the Story. Again, your usual host, Dr. A. Truott, will be back on Wednesday. All complaints can be lodged to him about me. Well, it's time for America's favorite game show, America in Jeopardy. Oh, so funny. This fine day's answer is the Public Safety and Elections Task Force, through which corporate lobbyists and elected officials vote behind closed doors to approve model legislation that creates obstacles to American citizens voting through restrictive voter ID bills, as well as other damaging legislation such as reckless gun laws that have been cited to protect violent vigilantes from being held accountable. Gosh. Who could have possibly created such a task force? Well, obviously, it has to be a government agency, right? And it was ALEC. We're talking about ALEC's Public Safety and Elections Task Force today. America truly is in jeopardy when a task force is created by a non-government, non-profit organization that's full of corporate and government folks deciding laws behind closed doors. This basically is a task force to rewrite Americans' rights, change the laws for gun laws, and for imprisonment of people. In other words, taxpayers are basically, they're writing laws that basically say that taxpayers subsidize the private prison industry and create more profit by voting for different laws that will imprison us. Oh, Vicky, what the heck is going on here? How did this all happen?
Well, okay, if you think about privatization, what does privatization mean? It means that you contract out government functions because you think that any services that a government provides is in competition with the private sector, or that the private sector can do it, you know, more efficiently, cheaper, all of these kinds of things. Now, and I could argue against all of those things because...
Well, we're talking about the government who can print as much money as it wants. and a private company can do it cheaper. Those two things don't even make sense.
Well, exactly true. I mean, but we're talking about the marketing layer of how this is marketed, how privatization is marketed. When what really happens is that every contract that the government issues to provide government services is a transfer of the power of government to the corporation that gets the contract. And obviously, the extent of that power is dependent upon the size of the corporation that gets the contract. But it is, in effect, the transfer of power with a thread. You know, you could call it public-private, you know, the public-private partnerships. The government is still in charge. But that's only theoretically in charge because the power is where the money is. Okay? So, when you do that in privatization, then the entity that is running the process really becomes the entity that makes the rules. And so with the privatization of our government functions, basically it's become the corporations that are make the rules.
Through groups now, like ELEC.
Okay, now, in the interest of representing citizens, of course, we need to have representation on these committees and task forces. So what happens? We have to have organizations that then represent our interests. And so you have a buildup in the private sector of the corporate interests and the allegedly citizen representative interests, but really they're corporate funded also. So you end up with this effectively a shadow government that really represents only corporate interests. A classic example is the recent shift towards setting up a property rights council, you know, to represent the interests of the citizens against the big bad developers. Well, you know what's going to happen is that corporate funded groups that supposedly represent citizens' interests that are funded by groups like Koch Brothers, they are funding the movement towards creating these councils. Ultimately, though, they'll be staffed with people that really do have private property rights at heart. Ultimately, when they are replaced, they will be replaced with corporate shills, and it will give more power to the corporations that are actually now the government in a system of full-blown fascism.
Well, and this is the trick, isn't it? I mean, it's basically a constant setup of these organizations, these 501c3s. And we have to include churches in that. I hate to say it, but the church plays an intricate role. It doesn't matter which church you're going to, and now they're setting up these just random churches that are pretty much the global perspective of all religions into one, which, again, the concept is fine. It's the organization of it and the influential aspect of it that's the problem.
We're in a mess.
Yeah, it's really frightening. It's very frightening to me. And now again, with the disclaimer that we're not talking about people here. We are talking about the corporate structure. We're not talking about the employees other than the ignorance of employees. We're talking about the top tier structure of these corporations. And again, we're not talking about the people who attend church. We're talking about the actual, you know, top tier church that's required to follow certain regulations. So how does that all fit into this? How does the incorporation of what should be a, you know, well, what is a right, the right to assemble and the right to freedom of religion. What is the opposite of that is an incorporated corporation acting as a religious body. So what is the role of churches in all this?
Well, the churches, actually, the churches, the media, everybody, if we had truth in the public arena, I don't think we would have this problem. But I'm not sure how many people really understand this complex, fraudulent system that has been set up. I mean, I've been working on this for 10 years, and I am just every day it's a new revelation and a deeper understanding. So there are a lot of really good people who are involved in these movements and in these organizations who think that they are doing the right thing, who honestly believe that they are doing the right thing. But if you don't understand the whole system and how it evolved and how it works, then anything that you do is likely to be the wrong thing.
Let's take an example. And again, I feel very, very, okay with talking about this. And because I was one of these people, again, I was a member of Greenpeace, for a very long time until I started understanding what Greenpeace was really all about. And I started reading these things and they didn't make sense. But let's just take a generic example of how these organizations are used, again, including churches, but in this case, an organization like the Sierra Club or Greenpeace that's used to literally drive people off of their property, the property that might have been in the family for generations before the country was even founded. You know, let's say you're a person who owns 500 acres of extremely well wooded or well mineralized land, or even one with an aquifer that's very valuable. You know, these organizations, these nonprofits that are, as we've discovered with ALEC, are very much used as tools to create laws outside of usual governmental functions, and then of course that law is brought in, and it's almost like a pretend situation where, oh yeah, we created this law. So all of us 435 congressmen got together and we created this law. It wasn't ALEC, we swear, right? So they come in, they use these Sierra Club, these green type of things, natural, all these keywords that you know are just, they're just so fake, and they come in and they say, well, we're not going to let you cut down your trees anymore because you have a bird. You have this owl that's endangered, or you have a specific grub worm or ant that is native only to your area, and therefore you can no longer mine the area, or, you know, it could be anything, really. And what it boils down to is using the pulling on the heartstrings of the people who don't understand this structure, which is 99% of the people who support these organizations because they're environmental, another key word, or they're helping to preserve the endangered species, and the whole concept behind endangered species might have had a good thing, might have been a good thing when it was created, but now it's used strictly to really, you know, for privatization of what are otherwise private lands into government lands. And then those lands are sold off because of the mineral rights and because of the timber or the water. Later on, after that species is reintroduced or rehabilitated and no longer on the endangered species list, well, guess what? All of a sudden, that land that used to be in the hands of a private person is now in the hands of someone else. Because, you know, this farmer or this timberman or this mineral miner can't use the land. What's he going to do with it? Hold on to it for nothing? No, he's probably going to sell it. And he's probably going to get hounded and harassed, and even the IRS might come in and mess with him so that he will sell that land. Isn't that basically what's going on with,
absolutely,
with these groups?
Yeah, they turn a person's property into a white elephant. You know, that you can't use the property, but you're still responsible for paying the property taxes and whatever on the property.
Well, and that's because, I mean, here, perfect example. I this farmer over here who's constantly having bits and pieces of his land taken from him by the state. The most recent was the state taking it to put some railroad tracks through for its, you know, state-run green initiative train. they've made it, you know, if they take enough way, land away to where he's got less than 5 acres of land to farm, he will no longer be able to claim it as farmland. His taxes right now, because it is farmland, and is being utilized as farmland, are only about $200 a year. Whereas if he can no longer call that farmland, which is the ultimate goal of these people, they're going to get $200,000 worth of property tax for that land because it's no longer utilized as farmland. And that, in retrospect, is really the ultimate goal, $200,000 versus $200 in taxes.
Right. And that's a very important point that you just made there. All of the incentives for economic activity are misaligned. Example you just gave there is the example where the incentive for the city is really to destroy that guy economically, so that the property gets sold off. He won't be able to afford it, obviously, so he'll end up selling it off, and then something will be built. But there's a whole other area that we could talk about in terms of taxation of property, you know, by the cities. But just as a general principle, the incentive is for the city to put the guy out of business. Whereas normally your city government should be a protector of your rights to exist, your property rights, with this misalignment of incentives, they are actually the destroyers. They become government power is used for private interests.
Well, and it's important, I think, to note here, too, that this isn't just some idea that someone came up with in your city or in my city. This is what is called a standard of practice. This is the best, what they call best practices. And this comes from, amazingly, another private association that decides these things called the Government Financial Officers Association. When you go into your city council, you will find a financial officer, you'll find city planners, and you'll find other folks working there. But chances are your financial officers are all members of this private association that basically, when you go to the website and you read all the little things that they've produced and all the memos that they pass out, you find that this is a standard of practice. Things like changing the city plan to reflect that the future building, the land that farmer owns is the future site of some government building or some housing tract. You do that, you've changed the plan. And then you start, this is the standard in practice, and then you start implementing all of these different things to acquire that land. This is coming not from the federal government, not even from these private associations, but even higher, and that is from this United Nations Agenda 21 bill, this sustainable growth and development. That's where these standards and practices are coming from. It's literally a way to steal people's land and use these private groups in order to accomplish that by initiatives, green initiatives, and endangered species and everything else you can think of.
Right. And one of the most tragic things that has occurred in the world is what's happened to Greece. And they were talking about selling off their islands, you know, which is part of the privatization process. And Steve Forbes was one of the people that was over there to buy, you know, one or more of the Greek islands. And what a tragedy, what a incredible tragedy that is.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I've actually been over there, and there are many, many islands, but I can't imagine, one of those becoming, I mean, it's basically not even part of the country anymore. It's become a privatized nation, I mean,
right.
That island, right?
Right, and that's the whole idea of globalization, they think they can set best practices and all the rules at the global level. And because of the internet and these associations, they can be implemented in all of the countries at the local level, thereby eliminating the inefficiency of federal and state governments.
Well, Jane, Vicky, would I be incorrect if I were to say that, oh, I don't know, Europe is an island, or that North America and South America and Central America are also basically one big island? I mean, are we not talking about a microcosm effect here where, yeah, you can take over a small island, but you can also take over a whole continent because it, too, is an island?
That's a very astute observation. Yes, it is. We are calling them regional areas, you know, the European continent, the North American continent, Oceania, which includes, as I understand it, Australia and Indonesia, and then, of course, Asia and Africa. So there are five or six big regional areas. But it works the same way. I mean, ultimately there will be like five representatives at the table for these regional areas making policy for everybody. It'll be harmonized policy. I've called it, in things I've written in the past, I've called it a world of one, and it's a gray world. There is no color in it. There is no variety. It is all standardized, uniform, marching in lockstep.
Yeah, that's
the nightmare I see in the future.
And you're seeing it implemented as we speak. You're seeing it in the media. You're seeing it. it's incredible. Listen, we have a caller, Dan in Texas. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, hi. Great show. Great show. You just said unified in one lockstep. I inherited what's called a non-participating mineral rights, and so I'm out there trying to get a contract to sign with the drilling company. He works for Shell, and they said I've got seven contracts, some are worth $2,000 a month for at least 20 years. And so out of curiosity, I just went around saying, well, you know, where did my great-grandfather, where was this land near Austin and all this stuff? And I talked to a Corps of Engineer guy, and boy, he went to a rage. Corps of Engineer? I mean, he absolute rage, more than one. And they said, well, you can't get that money because part of it's under a lake and part of it's under the dam. Some of it's on dry land. And who's this guy for Corps of Engineers to want to, brainwash anything and give up and don't try, because you can even do it under a lake or a dam because the horizontal drilling's, now commonplace. But I mean, these guys, you go lockstep, that's an understatement. And the only reason I won the fight, the verbal argument with him, is because the county of the clerk has been there like 30-something years, and she's over in the crypt like I am. So she basically let me know this guy's full of death, just lying out as you know what. So what has he got to gain? This lockstep thing is no joke. Boy, these people are, well, the Corps of Engineers, he didn't have anything to do with anything. I just had
so
to
Dan,
be there.
Are you trying to utilize your limited mineral rights? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, yeah, well, the mineral rights are that, They can use this new way of getting gas, natural gas, and sometimes oil. And so I didn't know about it until the 80s. And I got this letter in the mail saying you have I got a call from a drilling company who does the drilling, Quicksilver Drilling Company, and they do the drilling of the wells, and then after the wells, you know, the natural gas companies take over, and you get your monthly royalties every month and all this stuff. But the corporate here didn't. He just happened to be involved in a conversation, goes to a screaming, yelling rage. I mean, to the point of almost violence. What does he care? What does he want to cheat me out of my mineral rights for?
Well, hold on a second. Let me ask you this. Do you know how much water it takes to do this fracking?
Oh, yeah, I know they're doing it now. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. No, man, I know
okay.
It's a big deal.
So let me ask you this. They want to give you $2,000 a month for your limited mineral rights. How much pollution, how much water are they going to use that won't be available for ranchers and farmers down the line for you to get that $2,000 a month, which is peanuts,
sure
really. $2,000 a month is peanuts.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, it's $2,000 a month for each of apparently seven different leases, different pieces of property. But now, I mean, I'm saying later, these people are going to, the recruiting engineer is like, I guess he has a head. Maybe that's his reason, because he wants to keep this. They're going to drill the well. There's nothing going to stop them. But, I mean, I can imagine Corps of Engineers trying to get one side or the other.
I'll tell you why. Because he's looking at the future. He's looking at the impact. You're looking at your immediate benefit.
Okay. Well, he's an environmentalist then.
No, he's an engineer. He's an engineer.
Yeah, consider the Army Corps of Engineers to be a, you know, again, the key word being well, Army. But you got to consider these guys to be nothing but basically take out the ethics, take out the morals, take out the values, and all you have is an unempathetic engineer designing for the future. That's what you're dealing with.
Actually,
he doesn't care much.
He's willing to ball
actually,
face
I
lie.
Actually, I look at it from the other side. You have the corporation that wants to do the fracking, you know, regardless of how much damage it might do. They might be polluting the water table. I don't like fracking. There's something wrong with it. And I don't know
exactly.
I agree with
you there. Yeah, I do agree with you there. But I mean, he's actually willing to get all upset and emotional and lie and say you can't drill under the water, which is about, hey, what did you to the sin of being a liar and deceptive? I mean, I should be able to sue him for using his government office for deception or deceiving or something. I mean, the facts are the facts, but to just bald-faced lie and say stuff like you can't drill under a lake is just a blatant lie.
Well, you know, he has the power to not allow you to do it. I guess that's the most important part. He can stop you from drilling on your own land, whereas the corporation that wants to do it, of course, is going to get the permits and everything else.
They are doing it.
What they're actually doing is stealing water.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The drought in Texas is horrible because T. Boone Pickens stole all the water using his criminal connections in Austin. Even farmers in Amarillo lost their water in some weird, crazy way. If you got, you know, I mean, that's an understatement. Yeah, the water's been sold by T. Boone Pickens, and the most of it is being out here in Houston refineries, which I personally can assure you, they use what those refineries like it was nothing. They don't care how much they waste. And of course, the conclusion is you got to have the water to make the refineries work. But what do the motorists expect to do when they're running out of water? I mean, you know, it's absurd. Don't they make their money? That's all that matters. Obviously.
All right, man. Hey, listen. Thanks for the call, Dan.
One more question.
What's that?
One more question, please. The only reason I called was you'd mentioned the marching order. One more step. That was me thinking that. But the reason I called is here in Houston, the judges own prisons or jails that they put people in, and I found out in some cities it's illegal for judges to own jails they put people in. Is that something you would know anything about?
That's a commonality. We got to go to break, unfortunately. Thanks for the call. We'll get into that after the break. Again, you're on the story behind the story. That was Dan from Texas, and you're with Clint and Vicki Davis. We'll be right back.
Hiking, backpacking, Alice Packs, military surplus, tactical gear. The list goes on and on and on. You can find it at CJL Enterprise. That's ENTERPRIZE.com. You can call us at 816-359-7945. We are open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year on the web. Again, it's CJL ENTERPRIZE.com. CJL Enterprise.com. You can call us at 816-359-7945. CJL Enterprise.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, So I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
America, politicians are about to vote on the creation of a police state and a permanent state of war everywhere on Earth, including the homeland, Mein Führer. The U.S. Senate will be voting on a bill that will give this president and every future president the power to order the military to pick up and imprison, without charge or trial, civilians anywhere in the world, including America.
Illuminati, you'll never take control. Your new world order will lead to none.
Let's just go over that again, because it may seem insane or unhinged at first. The American president wants the power to arrest and detain anyone, anywhere, indefinitely, without charge or trial, forever. Yes, it still sounds insane.
As snow falls on the majestic Rocky Mountains, it eventually melts. The water east of the Continental Divide travels downhill over 1,600 miles before reaching the Atlantic Ocean. On the western side, water travels downhill almost 1,000 miles to reach the Pacific Ocean. As you ponder this miracle, ask yourself this question.
How many people and animals has that water passed through before it reaches my area?
Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. At the heart of these portable systems are the Black Berkey purification elements. So powerful, these elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and yeah, they can purify that downward flowing water. Berkey purification systems get rid of the unhealthy stuff in your water while leaving the healthy, beneficial materials that your body needs.
For more information on the powerful Berkey line of product, go to themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey water filters. That's themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey water filters, or dial 888-803-4438.
TheMicroEffectLive.com. Undistorted truth. Talk hosts that blow the horn on the Matrix world. Welcome to TheMicroEffectLive.com. Say goodbye to fake news. Say goodbye to fake radio.
Goodbye. Nice to know you.
Welcome to TheMicroEffectLive.com.
Nice to know you.
The intelligent source for news, updates, and of course, the truth.
Story behind the story, and we are coming to our final chapter here. Again, I'm Clint Richardson. With me today is Vicki Davis. Her website is channelingreality.com, a highly recommended website for you to get tons of information on what we're talking about today. And remember, all of this is stemming from the globalist concept, the United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development Declaration of Human Rights, which will replace your constitution as well as your individual rights. Very, very important for you folks to understand this, especially as you continue to quote the constitution as the basis of your rights, even while that constitution is being replaced by United Nations treaties. Because remember, a treaty or a contract usurps the concept and power of the Constitution. It's a very important thing to start paying attention to. Now, our caller Dan from Texas brought up two very important aspects here, one of those being judges owning prisons, which we'll get into here in a minute. But, now, Vicky, you were saying that the real purpose behind this is the water. The water plays such an important part in the drilling, and even as this structure, you know, tells us that global warming is happening, of course, global warming coming from a global conglomerate of corporations, naturally that's what they're going to say, even though we're going into what can only be called an ice age, it seems like. You know, it's basically due to overpopulation. The reason that our water supply is running out, the infinite water supply that we have, is because of overpopulation. And they say that to really hide the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is that the oil companies and the gas companies, natural gas companies, the people that are drilling and fracking for these finite materials, what they're really doing and what's really happening with our reservoirs is that that water is going to the water thieves, which are the oil companies. They need that water because when they take natural gas and oil from the earth, they're using that water to fill up the vacuum they've created, the space underground that's left, that in truth is actually quite volatile because you're talking about a small area that's full of gases that are explosive. And so what we have is basically a case where the oil companies are using our reservoirs for the purposes of extracting natural gas from the earth and oil.
Yeah, it really does bring up actually a number of really interesting questions. You know, the first question is, you know, public rights versus private rights. Without fresh water, we all die, period. You know, end of story. There also, while he was talking, it also occurred to me, you know, when they do this fracking, they can go as far as like 5 miles underground. So if you drill a hole straight down on your property, but they intend on doing this fracking, they're going 5 miles out. They're no, you know, chances are they're no longer on your property. The hole is on your property, but, you know, they might be going 5 miles out, which is on somebody else's property. Now, something interesting that I learned in New York that I never knew about before was that they had defined something called air rights. And the reason they did that is because, obviously, skyscrapers in New York, sky space becomes very important in a place like New York, and so they defined air rights that are separate from the land rights. And it occurs to me that perhaps where this is all going is that they need to now define subterranean rights, underground rights, you know, so that you wouldn't have a property owner that digs a well straight down, but then goes 5 miles out. And if I'm correct in this, I believe that that's what the invasion of Kuwait was about. When Iraq invaded Kuwait, it was because they were doing fracking and they were stealing Iraqi oil by horizontal drilling.
This would make sense, and it would also be on par with what, you know, we had Hal Anthony on Tuesday, who's a miner and knows the mining law. And that original mining law basically, you know, when you make a mining claim, a traditional old-school mining claim, you own everything under your feet, under your property boundaries, all the way to the center of the earth, essentially. And that, you know, compared to what Dan had, which is limited mineral rights, is a very very important thing, because if you have limited mineral rights, you don't own the land. You own certain aspects of the land, and that can be taken from right under your feet. In other words, they can go under your mineral rights, and they can take what they want out of your own mineral rights and pay you, again, what you call peanuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in the whole globalization thing, if you have noticed, there has been kind of like a race for resources. Because Agenda 21 seeks to tie up all of the resources in the world, there's really been a race for the ownership of resources among the large corporations. A part of globalization is the model of how they are designing the economies, the global economy. And I do have something on my website called The Model is the Message, where I talk about the model of, I'm talking about the model of the healthcare reform, but that model really is the model for the global economy, where you basically have a central market manager, and then the manager is the owner of the facility where all the market players trade. So in the case of oil, there is a global oil market. All of the producers sell into the global oil market. All of the buyers buy from the global market. Well, that's a monopoly, and that's where you get crony capitalism, because the market manager can manipulate the market, selecting the winners and losers.
It's funny, we don't generally think in terms of monopolies, because we've been, you know, it's kind of the old schooling that we get, that there are no monopolies in America. There are no, we have antitrust laws, but of course they've been taken away. And you even in this state, you know, where we have an alcohol monopoly in Utah, where the state owns basically the rights of alcohol. In other words, if you are a business that sells alcohol, you must buy it from the state. If you want to go buy alcohol from a store, you have to go to a state monopoly store. They even call it a monopoly in the official documents. And yet we still believe that there are no monopolies in because there's somehow laws against it. Well, this just isn't true, and that's what these organizations have been doing for the last 70 years, is creating these types of legislations. Of course, they then go through Congress and get passed to basically destroy any concept of monopoly or antitrust laws.
Right. That's exactly what they've done. And the utility companies are a classic example. The utility companies were regulated monopolies, obviously, number one, because of the economic power they can wield. And at the time when the antitrust legislation for monopolies was written, they were exercising that monopoly power. And they have the electricity is the first input to the entire economy. And if anybody is allowed to exercise monopoly power, then they control the whole economy, in effect. So in the redesign of government, you know, so, well, let me back up and say, so we were used to looking at corporations as being the monopoly power. We had the utility companies, AT&T, the car corporations. GM was almost a monopoly. I mean, there was Ford, but Fixer Repair Daily, I don't think, was ever as big as GM, but I could be wrong on that. But anyway, so we were used to looking at corporations as being the monopoly. But with the redesign of government and a reestablishment of the idea of a market-based system, which really is a synonym for monopoly power exerted over the market, we are returning back to a system of control by monopoly. It's just a different organization of the monopoly.
So now you're going to talk about, which it's so hilarious to me, the way you casually say it, the way we casually talk about the redesign of government. I mean, listen to what this woman is saying here, folks. The redesign of government through private associations.
Yeah. Well, and you're right about that. When I saw redesign of government, my, you know, given what I know about systems, I knew that it was about the systems of government. I was horrified, absolutely horrified, because the redesign was done in a corporate structure using corporate methodology and models. And what Al Gore did when he brought in, when he initiated the project, was he brought in corporations to assist in the design, because, of course, corporations run their operations very efficiently. Well, when you redesign your government in the corporate model, using corporations to do it, you end up with a fascist government, and that's precisely what we have.
And it's also, you know, this is one of the things my main message to people is, you know, this makes it sound like corporations are the government, and yet when I look at all of my little reports, I can see, you know, it's way beyond that. It's not, you have to think outside of those kind of terms, because they're too simplistic. We have a government that has been investing in corporations. In other words, buying stock in corporations for many, many, many decades. And so really what we have is a situation where the people who sit on government and the people who sit on corporations are the same people indeed. But you have to understand that because government owns stock in these corporations, they wish to see these corporations prosper to continue to gain the profit model from their investments. And so you have government in a massive conflict of interest, not the government we're supposed to have. It's because the same government that is profiting from this is also, of course, regulating the industry in which these corporations are participating. And so that is probably the most important aspect of this, is to not think of this in terms of, you know, we're seeing that these organizations are set up to where, you know, the CEOs and representatives and lobbyists of corporations are on the same committees as our government officials. So at some point, we just have to say, okay, there is no difference between one is not, you know, synonymous without the other. We have a situation where we are in a fascist situation because government literally owns investment and votes upon what happens in those corporations. In other words, government votes for the board of directors of those corporations through corporate governance. And so this thing has gotten so big, so massive, so huge, and the money involved is not in the trillions, but in the quadrillions at the point where you take into the massive digital transactions that are happening every day, that the derivatives that these things are holding. We have something that's gone way past just a monopoly. It is a living, breathing entity, and the corporations and government are just basically a part of the same living structure. And that really is what it boils down to. And that's not the way our government is supposed to be in a place where it's limiting the power of those corporate structures, not participating in everything about them, and vice versa.
Right. We have a facade of government, but behind the facade, we have profit-seeking corporations that are actually pulling the levers of government for profit. And so that's why the incentives are all misaligned. The incentives are all for the corporations and the shareholders to continue to make massive profits, and they're doing so by basically turning regular people into slaves.
Yeah, and of course those politicians who are passing all the wonderful laws that help those corporations attain profit, and of course then not making, let's say, BP or clean up its oil spill or Exxon because it's not very profitable to do that. You got these people making all these laws. You got people that work for Monsanto coming on and being appointed by president as the Environmental Protection Agency, and then going back to Monsanto. The important part is that these politicians are, after they're not politicians anymore, are going and sitting on the boards, and they're heavily invested in these companies. That's the problem. That is the issue we're dealing with. And government itself being a major shareholder. What a bungle. I still can't believe it. Even as I look at these reports and see that, it blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, one really good example is Billy Tozan. Billy Tozan was chairman of a committee. I can't remember which one, but it was when they were working on the Medicare drug legislation. That was a very contentious issue in Congress. But Billy Tozan, he even changed parties. He was a Democrat, joined the Republican Party so that he could be the chairman of the committee. As soon as they got that legislation passed, he then went to work for a drug company for $1 million a year. So he sold out everybody in the country for $1 million a year.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this, Vicki. Now, I think perhaps the greatest fallacy, the greatest problem that the people have is that when they hear all the information we're talking about today, they read all of this stuff, their first instinct is, oh, I'm going to vote these people out. And so what do? They look at who's running in their party. And this perhaps is the greatest challenge that we have, is to make people say no. Don't look at your party. The parties are also private associations. They are not political or governmental agencies. They are private, 100% private associations, just like ALEC and just like any other organization out there. And yet, the first instinct to the solution to this problem is to go and change, you know, I'm going to vote this party member out, put this party member in. What can we do to get around that? Because that's the greatest obstacle as far as I'm concerned.
Well, people have to understand that it's their state. The solution is in state government, not the federal government. It's interesting that you would say that, because I went to a barbecue, a political event about 2 weeks ago or a week ago. And there was a guy there who wants to run for Congress, and he was saying he'll go back there and do this, that, and the other thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're not going to do a darn thing when you go back there, because you're only one of 435, and all of the power is in the cities. In the Congress, all of the power is in the cities like Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York City, because that's where the majority of the representatives sit.
And you mean based on population?
Based on population, yeah. Yes. And the problem is, you know, when our government was designed, the senators were supposed to represent state interests. But that's one of the things that they did around, I don't know what year that was passed, but when they elected the senators by popular vote, all they did was create a super Congress, the super House of Representatives, and they eliminated the check that the states had on the federal government. And so they really ruined the checks and balances in the state. So really, our only solution is for the states to exercise their 10th Amendment powers. But as long as state representatives belong to groups like ALEC that's owned by the Koch brothers, we don't stand a snowball's chance. until we can take our states back.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, at this point, you know, states, I gotta send you that research about what states actually are, actually territories of or possessions of the federal government. But I think it has to go even further, and we're gonna have to actually create areas that are not even, you know, well, counties, I think, is where it boils down to, because you've got your county sheriff, even though the county sheriffs are now being completely federalized and taken over, departments being dismantled and replaced by private corporations that are unified police. So I think it has to go even farther to where the counties aren't cooperating with the state. I mean, that's, unfortunately, that's the only concept. You can't have freedom if you're forced to do what the state says. So it's a very... Oh boy, we're in for a challenge, and I'll tell you, if we don't act soon, and we don't start really paying attention to this, and really start getting out of the party mentality, again, the private association mentality, where we give our votes away to people who then vote for us instead of with us, they don't bring the law back to us, they vote for our laws, we have no say in what the law is, all we do is vote for people, and that's a real problem. I don't know how to fix it. I except to get these United Nations Agenda 21 things out of government. Vicki, I want to thank you for joining us today. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you again, for having me.
Absolutely. Vicki is at channelingreality.com. And again, join us tomorrow for Bert. Bert, always a pleasure to have Bert on. And I thank you, and I say see you tomorrow.
What would you do if someone told you the future was wrapped up in a single being from another planet, and then your friend went on to say she was married to that man? This happened to an amazing woman that we're all familiar with, Raylan Allen. In her amazing book, The Obregon Chronicles, she describes just how she met this man and blessed and cursed the day they found each other. She heard an audible voice not to go into the room where he was standing unless she was prepared for her entire life to change. The attraction was too much. It turned out to be too much for either of them. As the book chronicles their exploits together, she takes you on a ride that none of us could expect. The book reads like the highest of science fiction novels, except one thing. It was real. It was true. To view a sample chapter, skip on over to the Rumor Mill News Reading Room and click on the banner for the Obregon Chronicles. And if you reach inside this book, be prepared for your whole view of life to change. Yes, it is that powerful.
Prisoner, rise and answer my question.
Oh, crap. Yeah, it's a little dark in here, ain't it, Clink, now that you've busted the light?
Where are you?
Right in front of you.
Now, where have you hidden the wax figurine of the Kaiser?
I've got no bloody idea what you did with your wax figurine, and I don't care.
You are the prisoner!
That's right, and as such, I expect some answers out of you. Now, where did you put my stash of freeze-dried food?
We, ate it.
You ate it?
It was quite good.
I'm sure it was. I'll have you know that was freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. That food rehydrates faster, stores longer, is nutritionally superior to, and tastes better than any other long-term storage food available. Now, let me out of here.
If you could get us some more, perhaps we could negotiate.
Yeah, perhaps I'll just confiscate your keys, Klaus, and let myself out the front door.
But wait.
I'm busy.
Get your own supply of delicious long-term storable food by dialing 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
In America, politicians are about to vote on the creation of a police state and a permanent state of war everywhere on Earth, including the homeland, Mein Führer. The U.S. Senate will be voting on a bill that will give this president and every future president the power to order the military to pick up and imprison, without charge or trial, civilians anywhere in the world, including America.
Illuminati, you'll never take control. Your new world order will lead to none at all.
Let's just go over that again, because it may seem insane or unhinged at first. The American president wants the power to arrest and detain anyone, anywhere, indefinitely, without charge or trial, forever. Yes, it still sounds insane.
We all shall be free.
Sun Cloud Busters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climate and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the